Today, will you let Jesus set you free? He did not come to this earth to condemn you. He came to save you. He died on the cross because He loves you, and He deeply desires that your life be abundant and free. John 8:36, He states, "Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you shall be free indeed." The title of this message is A Woman After God's Own Heart. A Woman After God's Own Heart. At the close of this message today, I'm going to give you the opportunity to pray the greatest prayer that a spiritually lost person can ever pray. And that is the prayer to repent of your sins and give your heart to the Lord Jesus Christ. For some time now, the Holy Spirit has been speaking to you about this matter of conversion, being born again. It's called being saved. The old timers in the mountains of Northeast Tennessee call it making a change. Whatever term you use for radical transformation by the power of God in the human heart, it's time for you to do that today. Just a few moments, I'm going to lead you to pray. And I plead you with you today, with all that is within me, give your heart to Jesus before it is eternally too late. A woman after God's own heart. Our daughter, Katie Harville Avis, states this after she became a mother, and I quote, "Being a mama is the best. Such a blessing. I don't understand how people can look at children as a burden. They're truly a blessing from the Lord. I felt that way about marriage too. The world speaks," she states, "of marriage and children so negatively. It's the opposite. Both are beautiful blessings and enriched by the other. I'll trade an entire lifetime of being Dr. Avis for just a day to be a mama. It doesn't even compare. They're not even in the same category. It's not easy sometimes, but I look at her and I see my husband. I see me. I see this little soul that I've been entrusted to battle for, little eyes that are so like her papa's and so innocent right now, but will look to me as her primary example of the gospel and biblical womanhood. Little ears that are like mine, but will listen to me for wisdom and knowledge, but may hear me sing off key, but will also hear me praise the Lord and speak words of love to her and her papa. The marks on my body from giving birth to my little girl are a beautiful remembrance of a healthy baby that was carried to full term. I get to snuggle her for 7 hours a day because she relies on me for life. These things are a blessing, and what I'm called to be is a Christian woman, not a burden." End of quote. A woman after God's own heart. Our text for this message is found in Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. Mark chapter 14, verses 1 through 9. After 2 days, it was the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. And the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might take him, meaning Jesus, by trickery and put him to death. But they said, "Not during the feast, lest there be an uproar of the people." And being in Bethany at the house of Simon the leper, as he sat at the table, a woman came having an alabaster flask, a very costly oil of spikenard. Then she broke the flask and poured it on his head. But there were some who were indignant among themselves and said, "Why was this fragrant oil wasted? For it might have been sold for more than 300 denarii and given to the poor." And they criticized her sharply. But Jesus said, "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. If you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She's come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." Will you pray with me? Father, in Christ's name, we praise your holy name that you knew that we would be here before the foundation of the world. Father, I'm aware of the assignment that is before me today. Empty me of myself and fill me with nothing but your mighty, powerful Holy Spirit. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be pleasing in your sight. Father, may not one word leave my tongue, but that it does not first come from thee to me. Speak, Lord, for your servant is listening. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. A woman after God's own heart. First of all, today, she knows what Jesus has done for her. She knows what Jesus has done for her. In our text for this message in Mark 14, 1 through 9, we read about Mary. Mary was the sister of Martha and Lazarus. She witnessed the Lord Jesus raise her brother Lazarus from the dead. She saw Jesus perform a miracle. Jesus looked at her brother's dead body and he said, "Lazarus, come forth." Mary was touched by the life of Jesus. Has Jesus ever touched your life? As you look back over your life, can you remember a specific time when Jesus touched your life and changed you? In other words, He performed surgery on your heart without even removing your heart from your chest cavity. It is called being born again. You can never be a woman after God's own heart until you have first been born again, meaning born from above. And it's a matter of faith. F-A-I-T-H. It's a matter of faith. F stands for forgiveness. F is for forgiveness. We cannot have eternal life and heaven without God's forgiveness. The Apostle Paul pens these words in Ephesians chapter 1, verse 7, in Him, meaning Jesus. We have redemption through His blood, the forgiveness of sins according to the riches of His grace. F is for forgiveness. The next letter in the word faith is the letter A. The letter A. A is for available. A is for available. Forgiveness is available. It is available for everyone who has ever lived, is living, and will be living. In John 3:16, Jesus states, "For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believes in Him will not perish, but will have everlasting life." Forgiveness is available, but it is not automatic. Matthew chapter 7, verse 21, Jesus states, "Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' shall enter the kingdom of heaven." F is for forgiveness. A is for available. The next letter in the word faith is the letter I. The letter I. I is for impossible. I is for impossible. It is impossible for God to allow sin into heaven because of who He is. God is loving and just, and His judgment is against sin. The Bible says in James chapter 2, verse 13, "For judgment is without mercy to the one who has shown no mercy." And then because of who we are, the Bible says we're all sinners. In Romans 3:23, we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God. We're born into sin because we have inherited the sin nature of Adam and Eve, the first man and the first woman who disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden. And because of their disobedience, sin came into the world. But how can a sinful person enter heaven where God allows no sin? F is for available. F is for forgiveness. A is for available. I is for impossible. And that brings us to our next letter in the word faith, the letter T. The letter T. T is for turn. Turn means to repent. You turn from something. You turn from your sin and you turn from yourself. In Luke 13:3, Jesus states, "But unless you repent, you will all likewise perish." You've got to repent to get right with God. And then Romans 10:9-10 tells us that we must trust Christ only. If you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God has raised Him from the dead, you can be saved. For with your heart you believe unto righteousness, and with your mouth confession is made unto salvation. The word faith, you've got to put your faith in Christ today. F stands for forgiveness. A stands for available. I stands for impossible. T stands for turn. And that brings us to the last letter in the word faith. The letter H. The letter H. H is for heaven. H is for heaven. Heaven is eternal life. In John 10:10, Jesus states, "I've come that you might have life and that you might have it more abundantly." And Jesus not only wants us to have an abundant life here, but He wants us to live with Him forever in heaven. In John 14:3, Jesus states, "And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also." How can a person have God's forgiveness, heaven, and eternal life, and Jesus as personal Savior and Lord? It's just this simple: by trusting in Christ and asking Him for forgiveness. Today, I plead with you with every ounce of strength that is within me. Take the step of faith, described by another meaning of the word faith. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Forsaking all, I trust Him. Will you forsake it all and trust Jesus today? I'm going to lead you to pray in just a few moments to give your heart to Him today. Don't put Him off any longer. Eternity is way too long to be wrong. When Jesus performs surgery on your heart, you never get over it. A woman who gets saved and never gets over it knows what Jesus has done for her. A woman after God's own heart. Firstly, she knows what Jesus has done for her. Secondly, today, she wants to give her best to Jesus. She wants to give her best to Jesus. Ann Ortland states, and I quote, "Many bodies who file into church, no doubt, do so because they have Jesus inside of them. Jesus, precious, exciting, life-giving. But most of them keep Jesus shut up, contained, enclosed all of their lives, and the air is full of nothing. They come to church and sit these long rows of cold, beautiful alabaster vases. Then the cold, beautiful alabaster vases get up and march out again, silently, or maybe talking their cold alabaster talk, to repeat the ritual week after week, year after year, unless they just get too bored and quit." She states the needs for Christians everywhere. No one is exempt, she states, is to be broken. The vase has to be smashed. Christians have to let the life out. It will then fill the room with sweetness, and the congregation will all be broken shards, mingling together for the first time. She goes on to state, of course, it's awkward and scary to be broken. Of course, it's easier to keep up that cold alabaster front. It was costly for Mary, too. End of quote. The perfume that Mary poured all over Jesus' head, that ran down all over His body 48 hours before He was crucified on the cross at Calvary for your sins and my sins and the sins of the world, by today's standards would be worth $3,600. That's expensive perfume. Mary was one radical lady. She upstaged the disciples, and of course, they let her know about it. First of all, she wasn't in their inner circle. That sounds like a bunch of religious imbeciles, doesn't it? Secondly, she was a woman. And in those days, Jewish women were never allowed to recline at a table full of men. And then thirdly, the disciples, especially Judas, I call him money bags, they were concerned about the cost. Religious people are always concerned about the cost. That's the first thing they ask you. What's it going to cost? They're religious. They're not saved. Fourthly, if what Mary did was not enough, John chapter 12, verse 3 tells us that she then proceeded to literally let her hair down and anoint the feet of Jesus and wipe His feet with her beautiful hair and that perfume. This is a woman who broke a vase in extravagance for her Savior, the Lord Jesus. This is a woman who was unafraid of the opinions of other people, and she was committed to excellence in all areas of her life. Mary of Bethany is my kind of Christian woman. Her attitude is gratitude. She just can't do enough for her Lord. I've lost count of the times in my own journey of faith, down through the years of my life, when I felt like I could not go on one more day, and I would receive a phone call or a card from a beautiful, loving, Spirit-filled Christian woman. And the power of the Holy Spirit would move in upon me mightily and strengthen me beyond description. And I could not only go on one more day, I could go on many more days, just from hearing from a loving, Spirit-filled woman who heard from God to affirm and encourage me that they're praying for me. These ladies break vases in extravagant ways for their Lord. And every time they do it, people get blessed, challenged, encouraged, convicted, and saved. I'm speaking to you about a real Christian woman today, a woman after God's own heart. A woman who is truly in love with the Lord Jesus. She prays. She reads the Word of God. And she tells others about Jesus and what Jesus means to her. And when the Spirit of the living God of heaven and earth moves upon her transformed heart to do something radical in the eyes of the world, even the evangelical world, she does it in complete obedience to her Lord, because she knows He is the one who saved her by His marvelous grace. She knows He is the one who empowers her with the Holy Spirit to live for Him abundantly and bountifully every day. And she knows without a shadow of a doubt that He's the one she will one day stand before to give an accounting for her life. She does not need, nor does she ask for, anyone's approval or permission. Why? She wants to give her best to Jesus. She wants to give her best to Jesus, a woman after God's own heart. First of all, she knows what Jesus has done for her. Secondly, she wants to give her best to Jesus. And thirdly, she wants others to experience Jesus the way she has experienced Jesus. She wants others to experience Jesus the way that she has experienced Jesus. You see, the disciples did not really experience Jesus until Pentecost, when the Holy Spirit came to live in the hearts of believers. Not only that, but as far as human nature is concerned, us guys mature a lot later than you ladies do. We have some catching up to do. And we really have some catching up to do when we're transformed by the power of God and the Holy Spirit enters our heart. The disciples didn't catch on, but when the Holy Spirit came, they did. But they rebuked Mary for breaking a vase for the Lord Jesus. And look what Jesus said to them in Mark 14, verses 6 through 9. "Let her alone. Why do you trouble her? She's done a good work for me. For you have the poor with you always, and whenever you wish, you may do them good. But me, you do not have always. She has done what she could. She has come beforehand to anoint my body for burial. Assuredly, I say to you," he states, "wherever the gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her." In verse 6, Jesus said, "She's done a good work for me." The words "good work" are translated "beautiful deed." The words "good work" are translated "beautiful deed." Let me give you the horrible paraphrase of what Jesus said to these disciples who just hadn't caught on yet to what He was all about. And Jesus said this to them, and I quote, "Boys, leave her alone. She's performed a beautiful deed for me. She's prepared my body for burial." End of quote. Mary experienced the transforming power of God down in the depths of her soul. The disciples had not yet done so yet. Therefore, they were not even on the same web page. If you've ever seen the movie The Passion of the Christ, you can see what it was like for the Lord Jesus before and during His crucifixion. Jesus, in this setting in Mark 14, was about to die on the cross for the sins of the world. And I want you to picture what Mary did for Him as she broke that expensive vase of perfume and poured it on His head. That glorious fragrance ran down all over Jesus' body. And wherever He went during the next 48 hours before His death, that fragrance would go with Him. That smell was all over Jesus in the Passover. That smell was all over Jesus when He went into the Garden of Gethsemane. The Bible tells us He prayed so fervently and passionately that His sweat turned to blood. That sweat was all over Jesus when He went into the high priest's home. That smell was all over Jesus when He went into Herod's hall. That smell was all over Jesus when He went into Pilate's praetorium. That smell was all over Jesus when He went up the hill to Golgotha and carried His cross part of the way up that hill. That smell was all over Jesus when they tore His clothes off and cast lots for them. When our precious Lord Jesus was hanging on that cross at Calvary for the sins of the world, that smell was all over His blood-soaked body. And I believe personally that He hung there gasping for every breath, that He was thinking of Mary. She had experienced personally, firsthand, the life and ministry of the Lord Jesus, and now He was experiencing her. Because Jesus was the God-man. He was 100% God and he was 100% man. And he needed encouragement and help to make it through the most difficult time in his life. I know not about your journey, but I can tell you about mine. And I've learned down through the years that when we are in the midst of the storms of life, the devil is attacking us from all sides, viciously and maliciously. We need encouragement. We need help to make it through these difficult times that seem to never end. And when we're walking hand in hand with the Lord Jesus through these storms of life, oh, how we need Spirit-filled men and women to encourage us who have truly experienced Jesus themselves. I praise God in my own journey for the people that God has and continues to use to encourage me and to love me and to minister to me through the most difficult times of my journey of faith. Amy Carmichael, a great servant of the Lord Jesus who truly experienced Jesus herself, said this about this story in Mark chapter 14, and I quote, "The story of Mary breaking her pot of ointment made me think of some among us who love their Savior and yet have not broken theirs. She states something is held back, and so there's no outpouring of that love, no fragrance in the house. It is shut up, it is not given. The days are passing so quickly, she states. Soon it will be too late to pour all we have on his feet. How sorry Mary would have been if she had missed our opportunity that evening, an opportunity that would never come again. For Jesus himself said, 'But you do not always have me.' And she could not have reached him then. He was among his foes." End of quote. A woman after God's own heart wants others to experience Jesus the way she has experienced Jesus. A woman after God's own heart. First of all, she knows what Jesus has done for her. Secondly, she wants to give her best to Jesus. And thirdly, she wants others to experience Jesus the way she has experienced Jesus. William Ross Wallace lived from 1819 to 1881. He was the son of a Presbyterian preacher in Lexington, Kentucky, and he became a practicing attorney, but he left it all to become a poet. And God wrote the great poem through William Ross Wallace titled, "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle." "The Hand That Rocks the Cradle" by William Ross Wallace. Listen to these words. "Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace. In the palace, cottage, hovel, oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it, rainbows ever gently curled. For the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancy's the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow. Mothers first to guide the streamlets, from them souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled. For the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon our natal sod. Keep, oh keep the young heart open always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother love impearled. For the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry. And the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled. For the hand that rocks a cradle is the hand that rules the world." End of quote. Does Almighty God honor the life of a woman after His own heart, a true Christian woman? Look at what Jesus said about Mary in Mark chapter 14, verse 9. "Assuredly I say to you, wherever this gospel is preached in the whole world, what this woman has done will also be told as a memorial to her. You think about this today. Every time a Bible-believing preacher, a Bible-believing teacher stands up to publicly preach and teach the greatest of all the books in history, it is always in honor and in memory of Mary. A woman after the heart of God. Right there where you are today. You've been wrestling and struggling for some time with being born again, with being saved, with being converted to faith in Jesus Christ. You've been wrestling with this matter. The old timers here in the mountains call it making a change. Whatever term you call being moved upon by the Spirit of God to get right with Him, today is your date with destiny. Today is the day for you to repent of your sins and give your heart to Jesus. Right there where you are right now, I want you to stop what you're doing. You may be in a hospital. You may be on the side of the road. You may be in the privacy of your own bedroom, in a hotel. You just stop what you're doing right now, and I want you to pray with me right now. Jesus loves you. He's waiting on you. Pray with me right now. Dear Lord Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner, and I need your forgiveness. I know that you died on the cross for me. I repent. I turn from all my sins. Please forgive me. I now accept you as my Savior, and I follow you as my Lord. Come into my heart, Lord Jesus, and save me, I pray. I give to you, sweet Jesus, complete control of my life. Thank you, Jesus, for saving me. Give me the peace that I have been saved. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. You've gone from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of light. You have been radically transformed by the power of God today. Jesus has written your name down in His Lamb's Book of Life in heaven. It will never be erased. You are eternally secure. You can never ever lose your salvation. It's the greatest gift God has given to spiritual lost humanity. You write to me today. You let me know of your decision. I have some materials that I want to send to you to help you get started in your new walk with Christ. Be sure and get involved in a balanced Bible-believing church in the community where you live and ask your pastor to baptize you. Live for Christ. He loves you and He's changed you today. God bless you. I love you.